Hi, welcome so much to this podcast, The Modern Medium. I'm so happy to have you here today and so grateful that you took the time to listen to this episode. I have Camille and Savannah with me on this week's episode. I'm just so grateful to have them in my lives and their message is so powerful. So I hope you enjoy it. If you feel led to donate to Camille's organization, Parker Strong, I have left the link in the show notes for that. If you'd like to reach me, you can reach me at www.mediumnikkid.com. Reach me via Instagram, mediumnikkid, and also by Facebook, mediumnikkid. I answer and reply to everybody that messages me. That's right, every single person that messages me, I do respond. I hope you all had a great Christmas and are looking forward to the new year. Let's jump into this episode. Hi, welcome back to this week's episode. I'm here sitting down with Camille and Savannah again because last week's episode was so epic.
It was very good.
Yeah, so I thought, why not do another episode?
I agree.
Again, it's all sitting down together. So I'm going to let you lead with this one.
Okay.
If that's all right.
That's fine.
About kind of what we want, I guess, the goal of today's podcast to be about.
I just think that it is kind of... Not kind of. It is 100% the neatest story ever. Your evolution of where we started as not knowing each other whatsoever.
Yeah.
I only knew your first name, quite honestly. You know, our connection through my friend Amanda. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is the most interesting story to see where the Lord has led us through Parker. Mm-hmm. And we all know if we've lost someone that's very close to us, how we feel them so often. And your gift and your ability in life is that you are able to connect on a little bit different level than the rest of us. Mm-hmm. I feel my son so often stand with his hand on my shoulder, or at night I feel him, laying next to me in my bed, and I smell him sometimes when I walk into a room. It's the senses. Mm-hmm. I know Parker is with me all the time.
Yeah.
And I talk to him all the time. And I pray about him and for him every day. Mm-hmm. And I pray ceaselessly for strength and guidance. And I think one of the things that is most important as a takeaway for our meeting is that... you know, we're all given gifts and abilities, and God gives us our gifts. Mm-hmm. And I think it's up to us to use our abilities to go and do what we're meant to do. Yeah. I will tell you, Nikki, that I was laying in my bed and after Parker's passing, and it had been about a year after his passing, he's been gone. It's not almost quite two. Years. It's almost February 5th is when he passed of 2018. So it's not a year, not 2 years yet. But I was laying in my bed and, you know, just when you're just, I was fully awake and I was like, man, I need to go let the dogs out. And I was laying there and I was struck by an audible voice from the Lord that said to me, he said, this is your life goal. You're supposed to concentrate on suicide prevention so that there's not another mama out there in the world that has to live in this world that you're living in. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm so sorry that this is the way that you are having to do the walk, but this is what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
And this, Camille, is your gift.
Yeah.
So it then became up to me to use my ability to try and just keep moving forward 7 minutes at a time. And that's how I do it.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. I still, to this day, almost 2 years later, I still sometimes have to really focus on my 7 minutes.
Yeah.
7 minutes at a time. If I can make it this 7 minutes, Nikki, then I'm going to be able to make it another. Mm-hmm. And I pray ceaselessly, as I mentioned. And I also pray that the Lord will just keep leading me in the right direction, that I will reach out to the people that I'm supposed to reach out to, and they will reach out to me. And every single week, someone random reaches out to me.
Yeah.
And it can only be a God thing.
Yeah.
And it can only be that Parker is leading the way. And if Parker were here today, that kid would have been leading the charge on this.
Yeah.
So I have no doubt in my mind that Parker's a leader.
Yeah.
He's a leader in all this.
I feel like you're so aligned in what you need to be doing. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel, I feel that way about myself too. Like, yes, about my gift. Like,
I agree.
I'm feeling like I'm, this is exactly where I need to be. And
yes,
God just keeps making it happen and bringing me the right clients.
Right.
If you're a previous client right now listening to me, know that I love and cherish every one of you. but it was so interesting how we met.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of touched into it last week on last week's episode, but I had gotten a text from one of my close girlfriends saying, "Hey, I've got, you know, this person in my life that I feel like could really use a reading, and, you know, are you available?" And normally, I mean, my schedule is pretty tight, not just from like readings, but I'm a mom and
You're doing like 9,000 things,
right,
like we all do.
Life.
Yes.
So normally I never have like a window of opportunity. And
right,
I was like, well, actually I have, you know, this Saturday open. And she said, well, that's perfect. You know, like, let's make it happen.
And so, my twins were home.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Just kind of all worked,
yep,
in alignment with each other. I didn't feel any differently about preparing, you know, for this reading in the sense, like, when I prepare for a reading, I usually just get in some sort of prayer and I'm like, just use me as the vessel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they need to hear. I don't know what they need to hear, but just like let everybody come through,
mm-hmm,
that needs to come through crystal clear. And I always pray, you know, that it's for your highest good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want whatever I say, I want it to be for,
right,
the highest good. And so I always pray that prayer. So I didn't feel anything like no earth shattering,
right,
like moment or something. And then I got in here and as soon as I held your hand to go into the reading, I immediately felt the presence of your son. And it's been the most intense reading to date for me. Like, not just emotionally, because I mean, it was like emotionally, like, very,
we cried.
Emotional, yeah.
We sobbed, actually.
Yeah, we did. And I try really hard not to cry in readings because it kind of muddles, you know, the information that I'm getting. But I am human, so,
right,
I have those human emotions. But it was, like, physically. Like, I actually felt, you know, him. Like, he, mm-hmm, made me feel how he did things.
Right.
And I've never felt it that intensely before,
mm-hmm,
which makes me feel like he's just so close.
Right.
Like, he's just so close. And I don't mean like so close in a, people are like, oh, he's a ghost, he's not in heaven. That's not,
right,
what I mean. Okay. I mean that you guys just have a very strong bond.
Yes, we
and
do.
And he's staying close.
Yes.
I
do with all three of my kids.
Right. Absolutely.
So,
yeah. And so that's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Like, he's close in like comparison. So his whole message during that reading. So as soon as I felt that first initial, like, woof, you
and
know,
you also felt my grief.
Yes. And I felt the mother's grief. And I have felt grief coming from other people before, but this is my personal opinion. I feel like a mother's grief, a parent's grief, let's just say, is the ultimate grief.
It is.
That any person can experience. Losing a child to me is the ultimate, you
it
know,
is.
That anybody could experience. And the fact that you're like still sitting here and standing and smiling.
I appreciate
and,
it.
Like, that's pretty awesome.
I appreciate it.
But just all of those emotions and feeling him, and I heard him like right next to me. It was, I wish I could like come through the podcast and like let you all know how I'm truly feeling. Like, this has been the most incredible readings of like my life. You know, like, his not only just his message, but the love that he brought forward and all of, you know, everything that he was saying in that hour, you know,
mm-hmm,
was just like, it blew me away, you know? So I'd love to like go into a little bit of your reading if it's all right.
I would love,
okay,
to.
I was,
yeah,
like, I don't know how,
yeah,
much you want me,
no,
to
you
share.
No, you can share.
Okay.
It's fine.
Mainly because,
wait, let me
ahead
first say,
sure, yeah, yeah,
as I interrupt you in your podcast.
No, that's cool.
Your connection with him,
mm,
has changed our life.
Thank you.
It has changed our life.
Yeah.
Like, I can't begin to tell you.
Yeah.
you know, and I love that you come from such a Christian
place,
and I hold strong to my faith. Mm-hmm. I hold strong because I wouldn't be here without my faith.
I hear you.
And I just want to be really clear that you have really changed our lives, all of us.
Ditto, sister. Like, I feel every person in this place has just changed mine.
And I feel like it's a God thing that we're together.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I feel like literally, like, God said, just, here you go, girls. Yeah, really. Girls and boys, here you go.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And, you know, doing this line of work too, it's funny that you say that, because I've been like praying, like I need some more friends. Like, this is totally going to be like off the subject of our podcast. But
kind of like how we talk all the time.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, like praying to God, like, I really need a person in my life, because being in this field is a lonely field.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you have kind of, you have some real woo-woo people that I don't really believe in everything that they're doing with their gifts. Okay. And then you have like the hard, you know, Christian folks that like are like, this, what you're doing is a terrible idea. So I'm kind of like somewhere in the middle.
Right.
And so it's hard to find like-minded people.
Right.
So that, like, that's what I was like praying, like, God, please put somebody in my life that's like-minded, that like shares in my beliefs, that I can talk freely about, you know, what I believe in and share. And, so you've been like an answer to prayer.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Like side subject.
Side note.
Yeah. but in your reading, like, I'm going to give some, I feel like it's so important too, to like share how your reading went, because if anybody has been on the fence about like, do I do it? Do I not do it? I mean, obviously lean into your intuition. You don't want to do anything that you're not ready for.
Correct.
Because I feel like it took you a while.
Oh, a very long time.
Yeah.
I've known about you for a long time.
Yeah.
Amanda and I are good friends.
I'm just gonna like push the button.
Well, yeah. And it was, again, it was one of those things where I just was, it just kind of came over me. I was like,
you just have to be ready.
Yeah, yeah. You just have to be ready. And I just was like, oh, today's the day. And it was literally like that.
Yeah.
It was a snap.
Happened. Yeah.
It happened. Yeah, it was like 48 hours later, there she is at my door.
There she is at my door. I felt the same way too. Like, the first time I ever went and saw a medium, it took me like 5 years to go to see one. Like, I'd seen him on television.
Of course.
You know, you see him in action and you're like, wow, that's an amazing gift. And I would love to know what my loved one has to say to me.
Right.
But you just, I don't know what was holding me back. I just wasn't ready. And so the first time I went, it was like this amazing experience. So I just kind of wanted to touch on like your reading and like the pieces of information that came through, because I always ask before my readings too, like, Spirit, you need to bring forth information that is going to be important to you,
right?
Like, to my client, whoever I'm speaking to, because there are specific things like that I know that you wanted to hear.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Not just the, yes, they're okay.
Right.
Yeah, they love you. I mean, anybody can tell you that.
Right.
But it's only going to be a medium that can really give you like those specifics.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Of like the pinpoint.
Right.
I usually always have Spirit come through with the way they've died.
Mm-hmm.
That's just validating.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sucks to talk about it and bring it up, but he definitely came through with that first and foremost, and was pretty specific, you know, about how things went down. But what I found so fascinating was all the other tidbits of information.
I agree.
Like, I know that he had brought up that you had stuffed a picture?
It was a picture.
Yeah, in his pocket.
But I think the way in which you worded it at the time, you said the item that you gave him the last time you saw him, and I was the only one that got to go see him before we laid him to rest. Sure. I was the only one, and no one knew, not one soul knew, that I had placed a picture of it's me, Riley, Savannah, and Parker. Mm-hmm. It was our last picture together. It was on Thanksgiving Day. And that was Thanksgiving Day, and then he passed February 5th. So you see how close together.
Yeah.
It was within, you can count the days.
Yeah.
And I placed that picture, the 4x6 picture, in his hands and kind of sticking out the side of his pocket there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No one knew that. Not Savannah and Riley, my children that are.
Yeah, because he had made me feel like in the reading, like, because he was showing me sticking something in the pocket.
Right.
Like, that's how he was showing me the motion. Like,
And he mentioned that he carries it with him 24/7.
Yes. Yeah. And he's mm-hmm. kept it there. Mm-hmm. Like he carries it with him, right. You know? So
there's no one knew. Yeah. Like there's literally not a soul that knew that. There's not one soul on this earth. I am the only one that knew that. And I never, to be honest, I didn't think of it again until you brought it up. I mean, it was, you know, obviously my important most horrific moment.
Sure. Yeah.
To say goodbye to your 16-year-old son is not, it's unbearable.
Yeah.
It's unbearable and it's unbearable grief. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so much of what I take from Parker in all of this, and I have since he passed, is that there's so many other options.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, all we have to do is reach out. And I think that part of reaching out was me reaching out to you. Mm-hmm. I think that I was in a place where I needed to hear what you had to say. Mm-hmm. So I feel strongly that when you get the voice in your head or your gut that says to do something, you should just do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he made his presence known too. Like, you know, I saw him standing on this side of your body.
Mm-hmm. With his hand on my shoulder.
With his hand on your shoulder.
He does that a lot. He did that when he was here.
Oh, really?
All the time.
Yeah.
Well, because he was huge. He was 5'11". I'm 5'4".
Right, right.
And he would be like, "Mom, you're a Polly Pocket. I just stuff you in my pocket and you're like, carry you around.
Really? Don't make fun of my
height." Yeah, I know, right? So I know I'm short.
Really? I'm trying to think of all the other tidbits of information that he had brought forward that were just so validating.
Well, you know, the fact that my dad passed 28 days before Parker.
Right.
And I said from the moment Parker passed without, you know, blinking.
Right.
I said, I know that Jesus grabbed his hand and my dad grabbed the other.
Yeah.
And he validated that he.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
He did do just that. Mm-hmm. And for you to have said it that way.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'll make mention of that is just, I don't speak of Parker's passing because that's not who he was.
Absolutely.
I have always said since the day Parker passed, Parker had one moment. And I want to be real clear that people understand that Parker made a permanent decision about temporary problems. Mm-hmm. And Parker had one moment. And I always say it in that way when I'm sitting and speaking. I don't speak publicly about that. Mm-hmm. I guess I am now, but but on Facebook, on Instagram, I always come from a place of I grieve, but I'm hopeful. Mm-hmm. I walk on that scary bridge of mine, but I have hope and I have faith.
Yeah.
And so while my grief is unbearable and all encompassing, I also hang on to that hope and faith, mm-hmm. and I keep moving toward Jesus.
Yeah.
And I keep moving forward as Parker wants me to do. And so one of the things I held on to that you said, you kept using the term, he just had one moment.
Yeah.
You might say it 100 different ways. He had a minute. He had a thought. He had a spot. He had a time. He had any number of ways you could have said it. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you use the term, he had one moment.
Yeah.
Is beyond my comprehension.
Yeah.
So I keep saying, I've said it to you many times, that our, you know, our finite minds trying to grasp our infinite God. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's, you know, it's a God-given gift that you have. Mm-hmm. And there's just no way that you could have known these things that you mentioned about my mom, my dad, mm-hmm. my son, my brother.
Right.
I've lost a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, but the things that Parker had to say could not have come from anywhere but him. Mm-mm. There's just no way.
Yeah. He came from such a genuine place to mm-hmm. like a humble place.
He was a humble person.
Yeah. I definitely, absolutely. Just the message that he brought forward, I know that I mentioned this in the last podcast, but I'm just going to keep saying it because I think it's so powerful and moving, that if he would have known what it would have caused you all, like all mm-hmm. of your griefs, that he would have done things differently. That doesn't mean he's sitting in a pool of regret. Like, mm-hmm. that's not what I'm saying. He's living his best life. Okay. Mm-hmm. but he would have done things differently, mm-hmm. you know, if he would have really grasped
right.
that concept, which I feel like if somebody is in the midst, like you say, right. of that tsunami and not under, like, right. there's no way he could have understood.
Especially, he was barely 16.
Right.
He was young, and the problems, like we talked about last time, the problems that you think are, you're never going to be able to overcome, there's somebody out there
yeah.
that'll reach their hand out and help you walk through it.
Right.
Because let me tell you what, Nikki, I have people all the time that reach their hand out to me mm-hmm. and help me walk.
That's a
my
blessing.
My huge yeah. support of Savannah and Riley and my extended family, Skip, and, you know, my friends and just so many people that, you know, I mean, I had people the Christmas Day, uh-huh. I should say, was a hard day. It's yeah. a hard day to wake up without your son
yeah.
or your brother or your loved one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had random people. And so those are the people that when God says to send them a text,
yeah.
you sent me a text mm-hmm. and you'd been praying.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a real deal. Mm-hmm. That's the, when you have that gut feeling, it's the real deal.
Do it.
Do it.
Yeah.
And that helped me through the day.
Yeah.
You know, so.
They say too, like what I've found is that the second year is always the hardest.
I agree.
Because that first year, you know, everybody is there. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh, it's their first Christmas. Oh, it's their first, mm-hmm. you know, birthday, whatever. And then it's that second year, which everybody kind of forgets because they're off living their own lives. And then we're mm-hmm. like, but I'm here and by myself and Christmas still sucks, or yep. you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah. birthday still sucks.
Right.
But there's less people, you know, reaching out. So
right.
I know that with, like, with my own grief, that yes. second year I felt like was
yeah.
tougher than the first year.
Yeah. Well, and also I think a lot of my first year has been spent in yeah. shock.
Sure.
The stages of grief are not fluid.
Nope.
And as I know, you know. And, you know, I still wake up with shock mm-hmm. a lot of days I wake up with shock, and I still swing my legs over the side of the bed to go kiss him goodnight.
Yeah.
And I do these things that your brain fires faster than you can make it stop.
Right.
And you still have shock. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how long that lasts. I do encourage everybody. I went to a grief share class Definitely. During my first year. Mm-hmm. It was very, very, very helpful.
I did too.
12 week class, and most churches offer it for yep. free. And
or like the YMCA.
YMCA offers mm-hmm. it. So lots of places offer it.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. I very open about, I seek counseling, and I'm medicated.
Sure.
I'm okay. That's what's working for me.
Yeah.
There's lots of different ways to deal with grief or even suffering or even, you know,
right.
struggling with trying to make it to live.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to sit here and talk about my struggle.
Yeah.
It's hard to sit here and talk about that this strong, independent woman that you see with fiery red hair is struggling. Mm-hmm. It's hard to sit here and be vulnerable and now be on a podcast with you and say, I struggle. This is hard.
Yeah.
And I just...
But it's empowering.
It is empowering. Mm-hmm. It is empowering. And I am thankful that this is a platform to stand up and say, I don't always have it together.
Yeah.
None of us do.
Yeah.
None of us have it all together.
Yeah.
And I just go back to the meat of this, which is that there is just no way on the face of the earth that you didn't have a special connection mm-hmm. and a special gift.
Yeah.
And
I love how he said too, in your reading, he brought up the fact that, you know, he would sneak in bed with you.
Yeah.
Because he says that, you know, like he still does that.
Yep.
And I don't know if you feel,
I do.
Okay. I was like, you must feel like the bed,
I do.
Like move, like, you know.
Yeah. And the dog moves over.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. The dog moves over to make room for him.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So like I love how he mentioned that, like, even though that was something special that y'all did, that
yes.
he still continues to do that.
Yep.
And that you still feel the bed.
Yeah, like, we still watch Dateline together.
Nice.
So, yeah, we
that's
do.
That's awesome.
We do. And he helps me find some peace and some rest.
Yes.
And you know, that's rare.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So then when I left here that day, I went like home and told my husband immediately. I was like, this is the most intriguing I've ever had in my life. I was like, this has been amazing. I was like, I mean, I've never got information, you know, it was so clear.
Right.
Everything was so crystal clear, everything that he was telling me and giving me when I was talking to him. And so I went home and did that. Well, then the next day I went for my normal like walk routine.
Yep.
And was walking around the neighborhood and he came to me during my walk. And he's like, listen, he kind of made a joke, like,
that's Parker.
You're the only one that can hear me.
Right. So guess what?
So, yeah. So I'm coming to you.
Right. Yeah. Hi, yeah. I'm back.
Yeah. And so I was, you know, obliged and like, that's fine. You know, this is a good time. And he said, yeah, this is the only time that I can talk to you without, you know, you've got so many kids, you know, like,
yeah, right.
This is the only time your mind is quiet, you know, that right. You can like hear what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And so I just I walked and talked with him for like 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in that walking with him, he was like, you've got to do this podcast, you know, about suicide prevention and, you know, those that have been left behind.
Right.
And he referred to those, you know, that have considered suicide, the wounded. And that's how he referred to them, you know, is the wound, you need to speak out to the wounded. You know, you have a great platform. I said, well, that's all fine and dandy. I was like, but I have to get permission from your mom. Like, I'm not doing it, you know, without your mom's permission. And I was like, so I immediately, like, voice texted you, like, audio.
Right.
And I was like, listen, this is going to sound crazy, but are you down?
Right.
You know, with doing this podcast? Right. And you're like, yes, let's do it. And so since then, I mean, he comes to me daily, you know,
which
chatting.
I love.
Yeah, chatting and he has the best, like, laugh.
He does.
Yeah. Like, a gut laugh.
It is. It's
yeah.
Such a big
yeah.
laugh.
Like, just, like.
It is so contagious.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful.
And he is so giddy.
Yes.
That somebody can hear him, you know, and can communicate with him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I have boundaries because
right.
he does try to, like, come to the shower because I'm alone. Like, I'm
right.
alone in the shower, you know, not like a perverted way, but like, he's like, but you're alone, you know, and like, you have nothing else going on.
Right.
Like, okay, this is time by myself. Get out. Like, one of my kids, like, get out.
Yeah, get out.
And,
I'm trying to just wash my hair.
I just want to be by myself. I just want to be quiet. And he totally respects my privacy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He's just been so amazing to chat with. And I've learned so much from this old soul. I mean, mm-hmm. I know he was 16, but I mean, he feels so,
yeah.
like he has so much wisdom.
He was always an old soul.
Yeah. And he really feels like this is his mission mm-hmm. in life, you know, is
yep.
to help those
it
that
is.
Are wounded and to, I mean, obviously help you through your grief and help you through, you know, your grief. That's why he's just, I mean, I remember a pastor telling me one time, you know, like, heaven is just a sheet away. And that's kind of how I feel about him. He's just so close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I just feel his presence, like, around, especially around you, obviously.
Right.
Very protective.
He was always very protective.
Yeah, like, very protective over you and, you know, what kind of people you have in your life. That's funny. Have you been, sorry, this is like totally like off the wall. are you dating? You've been dating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cause I feel like he's been like having to do with that. You know what I mean? Like
right.
he's had a hand in that. Like, nobody's good enough for my mom.
Right.
Like, keep packing.
Right.
Like, send, like, I don't know how, this is totally like random. I know.
Right.
I'm totally.
You blamed me for them.
But I feel like he's like, nobody's good enough, you know, for my mom.
Who's very, very protective.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
As are my other two children
yeah.
as well, so.
See, we're all together. And
yes.
Get packing. I'm totally leaving that in.
That's fine. You can leave it in. That's fine.
Because he was just like saying to me just now, he was like, yeah, like I'm the one that's been, you know, telling everybody to like.
Yeah, I did blame Savannah, just so we're real clear.
Oh, I'm sure I had
yeah.
a part in it. Absolutely. Completely innocent.
Yeah. That's too funny.
Savannah frightens them.
That's all right. So it's just been such an interesting, like, evolution, you know, from the beginning where I didn't know anything about you or your
yeah.
family. And then now, like, I've just become
Like, well, now you're part of the family.
Yeah, now I'm part of the family, yeah. Which has been great.
Yeah, literally since Parker's friends with you and talks to you every day.
So. Yeah, he's so awesome. Like, yeah, he's such an amazing kid. And
anybody who knew him would tell you the same.
Yes.
I promise you, everybody loved him.
And it's been like, it's been interesting. This is the first time this has really happened. I think this is going to be the first time I'm telling you this for sure. But this is the first time like I've actually like had a relationship with somebody mm-hmm. that's already deceased.
Right.
And it's almost like I've been grieving like him. Right. And I'm like, but wait, like,
right.
It's like backwards grieving or something. Right. Like, I hate that I wasn't able to like
know him and
squeeze you in real life and like give you a big old bear hug. And
that's
you know,
funny that you say that because the one thing I really, really struggle with is that I know you'll find this hard to believe, but I'm a fixer. Mm-hmm. I want to, there's the Marthas and the Marys. I can never remember which one I am, but I'm the fixer.
Yeah.
I'm the one that goes in after someone has been sick or had a passing in the family. And I'm the one that cleans the kitchen and makes the casserole and sits with you while you cry.
Yeah.
I'm the fixer. Mm-hmm. And, I can't fix this.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing I struggle with the most is that I can't fix this because we had no idea.
Yeah.
And I think part of fixing it, obviously, you know, we've started the Parker Strong for Suicide Prevention and Education mm-hmm. Foundation.
I'll leave links in the notes, in the show notes.
Okay.
If they want to donate.
I think part of the way God is leading me to try to fix this, that's not fixable, by the way,
right?
Because it's a permanent solution to temporary problems, is to help others not go down this road.
Right.
And I think what Parker and the good Lord are doing through you mm-hmm. with your gifts and abilities, mm-hmm. because you're using your abilities, not just having your gift,
right,
is that you're able to, I mean, now Parker's downright told you, guess what? You're helping.
Yeah.
You're in it now,
you're
girl.
In it. Yeah.
And literally, you've said to me, how many times have you texted me and said, I just got done talking to Parker.
Yeah.
And I'm in it. Yeah. I'm helping. Yeah. This is now my new cause.
Yes.
And, you know, now we you know, we're personal friends.
Yeah.
And we're, now you're in it, really.
Yeah. I know. I love how he came to me one day after, you know, I got done seeing you. He's like, tell mom to get rid of the car.
Oh, my God. Yes, please.
So the backstory on that is... I have my dad's Lincoln, which he loved that Lincoln. And I have my dad's Lincoln in the driveway. And remember, my dad passed 28 days before Parker. And so the Lincoln was, well, let me tell you the story. So Parker was going to get the Lincoln when he started
driving.
Mm-hmm. He had his temporary license and he had two choices of vehicles because there was another car in the driveway that was just a spare car that was a really old Honda. And I said, Parker, you can choose either one you want. We have to get rid of one. I said, would you want the Lincoln or the Honda? And without missing a beat, this is his personality. He's like, no competition. I want the Lincoln. I'll be a pimp in that car.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, great. All right. So that's Parker funny. Was to get that car. Yeah. That was his car. Mm-hmm. And he loved that it was his granddad, his papa's car.
Sure.
And we all loved the Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially my dad and Parker. And Parker was such an old soul. He just fit right into the Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big, giant Lincoln Town car, by the way.
I was about to say, yeah.
Lincoln. It's a gigantic in the driveway car. So, yeah. And he, I mean, how would you even get a message about the car?
I know. Like, and he made sure to mention that.
He
was like, tell mom to get rid of that car.
Right.
You know?
And he said specifically, I don't need it.
Yeah. I know. And that's hard for us to hear.
It's hard for us to hear.
But it holds a special place
right.
in there.
Yeah. Some people are collecting the trinkets that they have from their loved ones. I've got a whole Lincoln
right.
in the driveway.
In the driveway.
So, right. So,
if you're looking for a Lincoln,
we have one for sale.
So, today. I'm working towards that goal. That's a big one for me.
That's a big hump for me.
So,
and we were just talking about, you know, stuff. It's just stuff.
It's just stuff. And that at the end of the day is all that matters is who's around you.
That's right.
And you and I both know that Parker's still here and leading the charge on suicide prevention. Mm-hmm. What that kid has to say is wise beyond his years.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be there to listen to everything that he has to tell me.
You might learn something from him.
All the time. I learned something. I mean, just that message of, you know, that if he would have known you know, how much it would have caused, that he would have done things differently. I mean, I'm like, you're 16. You know, like, that's a huge, like,
revelation.
Yeah. To come out and say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have adults that have, you know, done that same thing, and they don't come through with that message. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they were, like, in their 50s.
Yeah.
So for him to come through and say that, I mean, I was just, like, blown away. I was like, whoa, like, that's incredible that, you know, that he has that
insight.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And into that.
Mm-hmm.
Any final points?
I just think that, you know, we do the best we can. I think that we, like I said in the beginning, we have gifts and abilities. Mm-hmm. And whether you choose to use your gifts or not, we're not perfect. None of us are.
No.
We're all struggling. We're all struggling with something.
Although if my husband's listening, I'm pretty close to perfect.
Of course, of course. So, but if we choose to use those gifts and abilities, the gifts that we've been given from the good Lord are not given to us by chance.
No.
They're given to us on purpose.
What is that old, like, saying from with Stanley? You're only given the power. What is it? With great power comes great responsibility.
That's right.
That's it.
I think that's Franklin Roosevelt. I don't know. But whatever. I don't know. Whoever it is, we give them credit. So.
Yeah, just so you know. But I feel like that too, you know, like with great power comes great responsibility.
Right.
I know I'm in this too, in the power of healing. Like that's the whole purpose of why you do what you do.
Why
I do what I do is because I want to help anybody's grief. I mean, that's my purpose.
Right.
If they walk away from me and they feel 5% better, I did my job.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I agree. That's why I'm in this. That's why I do what I do. That's why I went out on a limb and decided this is what I want to do for a living and whatever people think about it, I'm not going to let it bother me.
Like you said, the right people cross your path at the right time every single day.
Yeah. Every day. Yeah.
And it's funny that you use that word because for 2019, I had an epiphany that I work as a real estate agent, but my purpose in life is suicide prevention and education, and that we should just go forward 7 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
That's what we do. And that's what we do in this foundation is we just help you have the strength to be brave.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all that we're trying to do in this world is help one another. And it's reaching out a hand.
Yeah.
And you have done that for us.
Oh, well, thank you.
You have just changed our life and our perception. And honestly, you've helped further our purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, to say you furthered someone's purpose in their life is kind of a big deal.
That is.
So you should
do that. A lot of pressure.
No pressure, Nikki. No pressure.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah. No pressure, Nikki. Yeah. But you've literally furthered our purpose in our life.
And Parker's
leading the charge.
Yeah, he is. Like, he's the puppet master.
He is.
In the best way.
He is.
Yeah.
So
I also think just like from our reading, I mean, losing someone to suicide, you have a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah.
And so it was like a sigh of relief after that reading to just have some questions answered.
Sure.
Because that was just, it was like a cloud always over you.
Yeah.
And so after that reading, it was like, oh, it's gone.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's,
and I think a lot of us, when we have any of us, when we have a loss of any kind, you know, a spouse, a child, a dad,
a why, there's always the why. Yeah.
And you know, you, I have never, ever been angry or mad at Parker for doing the best that he could do. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, that's all he could think of.
Yeah.
And I've never been mad at God. I don't believe that God took him. I believe that God knew when his day was.
Sure.
But I do not believe that God took my son.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we are human and have free will.
Mm-hmm.
And while I would give my life for Parker's in a heartbeat, I think that it's important that we remember that whatever loss that we're suffering when we struggle with the why, you know, I didn't have a note left. Mm-hmm. I didn't have, because he had one moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, like Savannah said, it's nice to have some reassurance that we're on the right path.
Yeah.
And it's hard to remember we that are left behind still have a path to be walking.
Yeah.
And sometimes we walk really slow and that's okay.
Sometimes we get carried.
Yes. And I have been carried for the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it is so true that the good Lord does carry us.
Yeah.
And I never understood that until this last year and a half.
Yeah.
And I know that the good Lord carries me
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Yeah.
And my friends dive in and help him.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what a lot of what Parker's trying to say too.
Yeah.
Is that we can carry each other.
Yes.
So
I think he's been right alongside you. Well, I know he has, you know, helping you with your grief.
I agree.
You know?
So and, it doesn't mean I'm not a mama that doesn't want to hug and hold my child right. and
yeah.
kiss his cheek and tell him it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's doesn't change the human in me.
Right.
This mama still misses that child every minute of every day. There's yeah. not a moment that goes by that I don't grieve my child.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a part of me that says, what legacy is Parker going to leave? Let's make sure that we go forward and we help others not go on this walk.
Yeah.
Let's go on a different path.
Yes.
And that's what Parker's trying to say.
Trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And trying to help. Like he said, he was like, if it just reaches one person and gives one wounded soul hope, then we did our job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
I agree.
Which is, again, a 16-year-old, you know?
16-year-old with an old soul.
Like, I'm just like, man.
He was always wise beyond his years.
Yeah. I was like, man, I should be in business with you. Well, thanks so much for having me over today.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for being part of our life. We love you to pieces.
You stuck with me.
Yeah. Well, you're stuck with me too. So.
All right. I will put all the show notes down in the bottom of the description if you'd like to donate to her fund. I hope everyone has a great new year and we'll see you in the next episode.